Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series talking about how you can fulfill God's will for your life. It's one thing to start, but it's an entirely different thing to finish. I think it's Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, somewhere around there, that says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And you know what? There's a lot of people that start, but very few people that finish and fulfill God's course. Paul says, I have finished my race. I have run the course. I've finished my race. And there is therefore set up for me a crown in heaven. You know what? You've got to learn how to fulfill God's will. And that's what we've been talking about. And the last few days, I've been talking specifically about patience and how that patience is a necessity. And patience is a word that I believe has been misdefined. And therefore, most people see patience as a passive thing where you're just sitting there doing nothing. I believe that patience should be described as faith over a prolonged period of time. It's an active, aggressive type of word. And I've been talking about that. I also tried to make the point that patience doesn't come from problems. Some people have misused Romans chapter 5 and James chapter 1 to say that patience comes from your problems. That's not true. Patience comes from Scripture. Actually, patience is a fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians chapter 5, verse 23. In the King James, it says long-suffering. The NIV calls it patience. But it's a part of your salvation. It is released and increased by the Word of God, but it's not going to reach its full development in your life until you put it into practice, until you begin to start using your faith over a prolonged period of time. And I think it's important to make that distinction because some people have been taught that problems give you patience, and therefore they embrace problems. They even pray for problems. And that is wrong. And I spent all of yesterday talking about that. Look at this passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 35, it says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Patience is confidence that goes on through these trials of life. It doesn't matter if the doctor says whatever. You've got God's Word, and God's Word is more important to you than the word of the doctor, the word of the banker, the word of the psychiatrist, or whatever. And you're going to start basing your life on what God says. You have confidence in it. And you have, this is what it's talking about, is that you have to believe, and then you have to persevere through these things. And time can be a tremendous detriment to your faith. Hope deferred. That doesn't mean that it never comes to pass. It's just put off. It's prolonged. It makes your heart sick. It's discouraging is what this verse is saying. When you have a goal, this is the reason that I'm, you know, not a real goal setter. Like right now, the Lord has shown me that we've got to develop this campus for our Caris Bible College, and it's a multi-million dollar thing, and that's certainly on my radar. It's one of my focuses right now. But, you know, I haven't put a date on it. I've got a projected date. I think about how long it's going to take, but it is not set in stone. I don't set goals as such that, man, this has to be done by this time or whatever, because hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I've just learned that when you're dealing with other people, and I don't have enough money to be able to develop this and do it all. It's going to be dependent upon other people catching my vision, becoming a part of what I'm doing and things. And so there's things that could delay it. And I haven't set a date. I hadn't set a goal because I don't want my heart to be made sick. But there's a lot of people that they set these goals and they say by such and such a day, by next Tuesday when I go back to the doctor, I have to have every symptom in my body gone. And you know what? If you don't see that come to pass, that doesn't mean that God isn't working. That doesn't mean that God hasn't already healed you. The healing power could be working in your body and things could be in the pipeline. But when you set a date, when you set a goal, you're setting yourself up for your heart being made sick. And that really wars against your patience. And so having goals and having your goals delayed can be a patience-killing type of thing in your life. But like this verse says, you need to maintain that confidence. You need to be one of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Look at this over in Hebrews chapter 6. It's talking about Abraham. And it says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now notice the terminology here. It says don't be slothful. And this is one of the points that I've tried to make. Most people think patience is just doing nothing. It's just basically you've said, I believe this is what God's going to do, and now you're just forgetting it and just standing around and you're just waiting on God. No, patience isn't passive. It's active. It's not slothful. He says, don't be slothful, but be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. It takes faith and patience. And you know what? There are some people watching this program that you've been believing for something for 2 or 3 hours, a day, a week, and you're ready to quit and fold. And it's not because you didn't have faith, and it's not because you didn't believe the right thing. It's because you don't have any patience. You just are impatient. You're going to have to get to where you believe if God has shown you something about His will, that you're going to head in that direction and you just don't quit. I've had people come before and say, well, how long do I have to stand? I said, until it works. They said, well, what if it takes a year? Well, then stand a year. But what? I don't want to wait a year. Well, what are you going to be doing in the next year if you quit and give up and become impatient? Amen. You aren't going to get it. I mean, it doesn't matter if it takes a week, a month, a year, 2 years. It doesn't matter how long it takes. You can't get there any quicker than to start right now and just make a decision and drive a stake in the ground and say, I'm not moving from this. This is God's will for my life. You know, I had a man come up to me. I was using this example about driving a stake in the ground. That's something that I grew up with, an expression. And it just means that you won't move. But I never knew where it came from. And this man had an American Indian background, and he said that he traced this all the way back to, I forgot what tribe it was, but the Indians, when they fought a battle, and if they knew that they were overwhelmed and there was going to be a tendency for the braves to run and retreat in the midst of a deal, you know what they would do? They would literally put a stake in the ground and tie their foot. Put something around that stake, tie it around their foot, and tie themselves so that they couldn't retreat. They had to fight until their last breath. And that's what that's talking about. When you drive a stake in the ground, it just means that I'm not going anywhere. I'm not retreating. I'll never give up on this. If it costs me my life, this is what God told me to do, and I drive a stake in the ground, I'm not moving from this. I will not compromise. There's not very many people that are that committed to what God has told them to do. But you know what? This is the way you've got to be. This is what patience is. Patience is just saying, I've driven a stake right here. I am not moving from this. I don't care if my bank account reflects it. I don't care if the doctor agrees with it. I don't care if my mother, my brother, anybody else agrees. It doesn't matter what anybody else has to say. I know that this is God's will, and I am not moving from this. And you just maintain that same consistency and faith over a prolonged period of time. And when you do that, it says, through faith and patience, you inherit these promises. And if you go back to Hebrews chapter 6, when it's talking about how that Abraham was able to endure and have this patience over all of these decades, it goes back to the Word of God. It says it's because of the promises of God. God swore to Abraham. God couldn't swear by anybody greater than Himself. So He swore by Himself. And He says, I guarantee you, I swear by Myself that in blessing I'm going to bless you. You will have a child. And it all goes back to the promises of God. In my personal life, you know the thing that has enabled me to maintain my course, and I'm still going in the same direction that I started in 42 years ago. When God touched my life and began to start giving me direction, I'm still on course. I'm still going in that same direction. And I can guarantee you the thing that has kept me on course are the promises of God's Word. Not just independent of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit took the Word of God, spoke to me personally, gave me goals, told me that this is what His will for my life is. And those promises have kept me on track. It's just like the Lord one time spoke to the people, and they all forsook him and fled. And he turned to his disciples and he says, are you going to leave also? And Peter says, Lord, where could we go? You're the only one that have the words of eternal life. And basically, it's not that Peter may not have been offended and may not have thought of quitting, but where else can I go? I am so committed to you and what you said. There's nobody else that has touched my life the way that you have. Nobody else has done this. I hadn't got anywhere else to go. I've burned all my bridges. I've got no other options. And this is one of the things that's enabled me to operate in patience, is that God showed me His will for my life. I've headed in that direction. And in the beginning, because I didn't understand the Word of God, Jamie and I nearly starved to death. There were so many opportunities to quit. There was people telling me, quit. And praise God for a godly wife. Man, if Jamie would have ever said, you know what, you're a loser, and nobody's coming to our church, nobody's listening to you, why don't you quit? Let's go do something else. If Jamie would have done that, I don't know how I would have responded. But praise God for a godly wife, that even though I know for a fact Jamie has told me that she thought of quitting a number of times, but you know what? She never verbalized it. She followed me when it looked like she was going to starve to death, when our kids could starve to death, when nothing was working. Jamie just stuck with me. Praise God for that. But see, there's a lot of times that it looked like I should quit. Other people told me I should quit. And yet I had promises from God's Word. God had spoken things to Jamie and me both. Jamie believed in this. God spoke to her and gave her the Scripture that we would declare His works before the great congregation, that we were going to be reaching large numbers of people. Did you know we went decades without that promise coming to pass? And hope deferred makes the heart sick, Proverbs 13:12. And you know what? There was opportunities to quit, but it was the Word of God. Just like He's talking about Abraham. Abraham had a promise. If you can count the stars in the sky or count the grains of sand on the seashore, that's how numerous your children are going to be. He had a promise from God, and it went decades without coming to pass. But he kept looking at the promise of God. It says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, that patience comes through the Scripture. It comes from the Word of God. That's the point that he's making here in Hebrews chapter 6, when he was talking about be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Then he starts talking about how God made promises to Abraham. And it's those promises that anchor us and that keep us in a sure position. It goes on to say that right here in Hebrews chapter 6. In verse 17 it says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Boy, that word picture, I wish I had time to develop this. You need to study this on your own. But this hope is like an anchor to your soul. Your spirit is a part of you that's born again and that's totally changed, and it's always believing God. But your soul is the part where people faint. As it says in Hebrews chapter 12, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. That is a part of your soul. It's your soul that gets discouraged. It's your emotional personality part that is up and down. And hope is like an anchor to the soul. You know, if you wanted a ship not to just float on the waves and float off someplace, you have to anchor it. You have to bring it into a dock and tie it to a pier or something. You have to anchor it to keep it from just drifting with the waves. There's a lot of people that don't have a hope that is based in God's Word. And you know, I wished I had an hour or 2 hour long program so I could do this. I don't have time on today's program to do all of this. But hope and patience are really interrelated. They're a part of each other. Let me just use one scripture over here in Romans chapter 8 to make this point. It says in Romans chapter 8 and in verse 24, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Right there it puts patience and hope together. Hope is a part of patience. And, you know, like I said, if I had another hour or two, when I continue through this series, I'm going to be talking about imagination and how important your imagination is to fulfilling God's will. And you know what your imagination is? It's just hope. I'm going to show you that link. I'm going to take the time to do that. But hope is the scriptural terminology for a positive imagination. And all of these things work together. And so over in Hebrews chapter 6, when it's talking about that we have hope as an anchor of the soul, your hope and patience are all related. When you start believing God, drive a stake in the ground and say, "I'm not moving from this position. This is what God told me to do. And I'm praying that it'll happen in the next 24 hours, but it doesn't matter if it takes the next 24 days. I am not giving up. I will not back from this." You have a goal out there. You are moving towards it, and you are going to stand, and you are standing on God's word. See, the things that I'm describing here, this is a very aggressive, very active thing. It's not passive. It's not slothful, as it said up here in Hebrews chapter 6. This is something, patience is something that it takes effort to be patient. For a person to wait and see things come to pass, you have to have an intense, strong faith on the inside, not just for a moment, but for a prolonged period of time. You know, the things that I'm seeing come to pass in my life right now are things that I believed for over 40 years. 40 years. That's amazing. And you know what? I am seeing a blessing on our life and ministry right now that is unparalleled in my experience. It just seems like it's my time. Things are working. You know, we just got back from the UK and from Uganda, and we saw people's lives change. It's just tremendous to hear the testimonies that are happening all over the world. I'm excited about it. But you know what? I'm preaching the same gospel, the same message that I preached 30 and 40 years ago, and yet I'm getting different results. I can't tell you all of the reasons, but I just know that there is time. It takes time. Actually, I started in ministry in 1968, and it was in 1999, I think it was July the 26th of 1999, that the Lord spoke to me, and He says, "You are just now beginning to fulfill what I called you to do." He said, "If you would have died prior to going on television on January the 3rd, 2000, and if something would have happened and you wouldn't have been able to start on television, then you would have never have accomplished my will for your life." And by that time, I'd already been in ministry for 30-something years. And He says, "You're just now starting." You know, there's a lot of people that just overwhelms you and you think, "No way. Man, I can't wait 30-something years." There's a lot of people that they are just, again, impatient. The American lifestyle. We want everything right now. But you need to recognize that for you to fulfill God's will in your life, there's going to have to be patience. You're going to have to maintain. And the way you do that is through Scripture. Scripture is given like an anchor to your soul, to your emotions. When you see things that don't conform to the vision that you have in your heart, how are you going to deal with that discouragement? How are you going to deal with these things? It's through patience. You're going to have to just keep focused on it. You're going to have to go back to God's Word and say, "I don't care what I see. This is what I believe." I've been through this personally. You know, I pastored 3 little churches over a 6-year period of time. I didn't ever feel like pastoring was really God's will. It wasn't God's goal for my life, but I knew I was called to ministry, and it's the only way that I had to minister at the time. I couldn't see another way to do it. And so I did what I had available. But you know what? It was frustrating because I had different things in my heart. And I wasn't seeing a large number of people. One church, the biggest crowd we had was 12. The next one, we went up to about 50. Maybe 60 would have been our largest attendance. And finally, the third church that I pastored, We had about 100 people in attendance, and that was in a town of 144 people. So that was beginning to start seeing some success, at least proportional to the number of people that were available. But you know what? During that period of time, I was frustrated, and there was lots of things that I was seeing with my eyes that didn't match the goal that I had in my heart. And how did I deal with it? I just kept going back to the Word of God and saying, God, to the best of my ability, I'm following You. I'm doing what I know to do. And I just had to be patient and continue. And I actually continued along those lines for 30-something years before the Lord opened up the door of television, before things began to change. And now our ministry is fruitful, and we're seeing lots of people's lives changed. And when I go places, I mean, I'm encouraged by what I see. What I see is actually encouraging the vision on the inside of me. I lived for decades with everything I saw discouraging me from the vision that was on the inside. I know that I'm speaking to some of you that you are right in that situation. And you're thinking of giving up, quitting. It's just too much effort. I'm telling you, you need patience. Through faith and patience, you inherit the promises. You have to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And I've still got more to share about this, so we're going to continue this on our program tomorrow. I encourage you to listen in then, and also please get these materials. This album that we have entitled How to Fulfill God's Will is the third album in a series on God's will, and the CD that we're offering free of charge today is the second in that five-part album. Listen to our announcer and then call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled How to Fulfill God's Will was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order. The second audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD titled Run with Patience, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I wanted to give you an update on the sanctuary. That's what I've called the property that we bought in Woodland Park, Colorado. We're developing a campus for our Caris Bible College. We have grown to such a degree that it's probably only going to be 2 or 3, it could be as many as 4 years that we will be able to stay in the facility we're in, and that's even using the church next door. We are beginning to totally maximize everything that we've done here, and we've got to make plans for a new campus. And as we prayed about this, the Lord led me supernaturally to this piece of property in Woodland Park. I've already given the details. I won't go back through all of it, but we got a deal. We got that property for about 1/3 to 1/4 of what it's really worth. And it was just such a miracle that I couldn't deny it. And so we've headed in this direction. I'd like to say this, that when I moved from my previous facility, which was over on Robinson Street in Colorado Springs, it was a 14,600 square feet. And we had the Bible College in there. And we got so full with just 100-something students. We had the Bible College main assembly room was in the same place that we had our television studio. And so for a period of time, we would stand on the television set and preach to the Bible College students. And then when we got to where we had like 150 students or something, we just couldn't accommodate it anymore. So we actually had to tear down this television set that you see behind me, and we had to put it in storage. I actually made television programs with the set stored against a wall behind me. I actually did that for about 18 months. We were without a television set. And we actually made programs where we went and bought the facility that we're in right now, and it was just an open warehouse. And we dug trenches for the plumbing and things like this. And it sat there for over a year, and we didn't have any money to work on it. And during that period of time, I made programs out there in that warehouse. I remember one time that actually a forklift, or I'm not sure if it was a forklift, might have been a skid loader, but one of their pieces of machinery came behind me and a dog walking in front of it as I was making my television program. I was just about ready to stop the program and say, we're going to have to retape it. And they said, oh, it'll be good. It'll show people where we are in this building process. But you know, for 18 months, we went through a situation that was really intolerable. For a while, we built a little studio in a corner of this facility. And it was so hot in the summer that we would have to run an air conditioner. But the air conditioner, this little window unit, was so loud that we couldn't tape television with it. And so we would have to cool the place off. We would start taping at like 5 or 6 in the morning when it was cool. And we'd get a few programs done. And then we would have to turn on the air conditioner and take a break for a while. And then we'd come back. And by the time I got through with the 30-minute program, I was just dripping sweat. And we went through these kind of things for over 18 months. The reason I mention all of that is to say that we're trying to avoid this same situation. It was a tremendous imposition on everybody. It was a hardship. There's so many technical things that I hadn't got time to go into, but when we didn't have a studio that was set up in the same all of the time, we would spend anywhere from 2 to 4 hours of me sitting there and them getting the lighting and checking this and doing this, and we had to move this back here, and it would be 2 to 4 hours of wasted time that we could have been making television programs. And because of that, we would have to do it instead of just taping a few times a month, we would have to tape many more times because we didn't have enough time in one day to make very many programs. And it was just a hardship on everybody. It decreased the quality, I believe, of the ministry. And so I really believe that this time we're using wisdom and we're anticipating coming into a position where we won't be able to meet the need. And so God has already led us to this place, and we are now in the process of developing the sanctuary. And I believe that we're doing it the right way this time. So I just want to thank God for His wisdom and His direction to be able to do this before we're in a crisis mode. I also want to thank those of you that have become a part of this project, become one of our foundation builders, and you're helping us to develop the sanctuary and build a campus where we can train leaders that will literally go all over the world.